First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 25th, 2015. Behind the Scenes.
Please rise. Read it from Daniel 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Let me see it.
Daniel chapter 10 is, to me, one of the most intriguing, fascinating, interesting sections in the Bible. And we talk about this because our theme, as you can see, is truth. The words that have been spoken, what has God said? That is our question. If you'll recall, this is a clip, not a video clip, but a picture clip from a famous presentation. What's that from? Can you tell? Wizard of Oz. And what's the point of that? I am the Great and Powerful Oz! And then you pull back the curtain and what? Just a guy. It's a little deceptive. The guy was smart. The guy knew how to do things. The guy had a lot of influence. But it wasn't enough. He wanted a little bit more. I have a picture up here of one of my favorite tracts that I pass out. I think we have some out there. I didn't bring one because I've got the picture. This Wine Game. You can get these from Living Waters. Okay, if you take a look up there, you see the point of the track. See those cards up there? You see those cards? There is a King of Hearts, a Jack of Spades, a King of Spades, a Queen of Diamonds, a Queen of Clubs, and a Jack of Diamonds. So if you read the text, it says, pick one of those six cards, memorize it, don't say it out loud. Then when we switch to the back of the card you pick will disappear. If you don't believe me, try it. Look at one of those cards and pick it. King of Hearts, Jack of Clubs, King of Spades, Queen of Diamonds, Queen of Clubs, and Jack of Diamonds. Pick your card. Pick your card. That's the pick. Those are the cards you picked originally. Okay, now here's the list. Ready? Is your card gone? It's gone, right? And if you read it, your card's not there, right? That's what it says, because that's exactly the point. Now, this is just a thing to get people's attention. So why is your card gone? Because the cards in the back are different from the cards in the front. It was never there. That's the point. So it's a gospel track because when you flip it over, the point is how people can be tricked or deceived by things that they thought they knew or understand, but we're sometimes too gullible. And then it goes on to talk to us about the truth of the gospel. If you have your Bible, please take it and go to Daniel chapter 10. And as we look at, as I said, what to me is one of the most amazing, enigmatic passages in the whole Bible because of what it tells us and what it doesn't say. But what it says is amazing. As we start off, Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 introduces the rest of our book. So Daniel chapter 10 is the introduction for Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. We'll spend several weeks in chapter 11. So we'll finish this book of Daniel after we get back from our trip. I'll get most of the way through 11. I'll get at least partway through 11 before we go. So our time frame is we pull the curtain back on a very amazing chapter. Maybe you didn't realize this chapter was there or hadn't noticed it, but as I look at this, this is a chapter I look forward to looking about, reading, studying, thinking about. Third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. So if you remember last chapter, in chapter 9, there was a vision that Daniel received from Gabriel. And this is 2 years later in that time. This is, remember, since this is the time when Daniel was told via scripture from Jeremiah that our Jewish friends would be returning back to Israel, the first return under Sheshbazzar, Ezra chapter 1, Zerubbabel. This is 2 years after the first return of the Jews to Judah from Babylon, from now controlled by the Medes and the Persians. So the first return of about 50,000 people had happened. Daniel had not gone back. He doesn't tell us why he didn't go back. He doesn't say he didn't, but I agree with people. I'm very confident that Daniel did not go. Daniel lived the rest of his life there in his new adopted country. He was an older man by this time. God had placed him in significant positions of authority. He could be of great help to his people, and perhaps he felt that God had him there for a reason. God went out of his way to move him there. God went out of his way to put him in a position of influence. And he thought, why should I just go back? I think God had me here for a reason. As you take a look there, I'm going to read a passage because there's something I want to notice, because there's something I want to correct. If you have your Bible, like I do, I read my New King James Bible, and it says this. If you have a different version, this is going to be the point. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, and here's what I want to notice. But the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. The introduction to this section is that what Daniel had been told, as he goes back and writes this down later, what he's going to be told in this section is fantastic. There's no other chapter in the Bible really like this. And as Daniel writes it later, he says, the thing I'm going to tell you about is true. I want to go out of my way to let you know that when you hear these things and see these things, they're amazing. I wouldn't have known them if God wouldn't have told me. There's nothing else like this. But this is true. Now, what I want to talk about is the phrase that's there up on the screen, the appointed time was long. Does your Bible say that? Okay, does your Bible say something else? Does your Bible say something else? What does it say? That's exactly what we are talking about. So here's a brief moment from your Bible to study later when you get home. There's a translation question here because our King James family tradition of translations made a mistake. They made a mistake in translating this term, but it's just in the translation. It's not in Scripture. Scripture is clear and understood once you take a look at it. So when it says the appointed time, never. Does that term mean appointed time? It's translated that way two times in the book of Job, in chapter 7, verse 1, and chapter 14, verse 4. But in each of those times, it should be rendered with some kind of the word of struggle. And when you go home and take down your Hebrew lexicon, your concordance, your Brown Driver and Briggs, or H-A-L-O-T, you will see that, Zaba, it is used to communicate struggle, conflict, or war. Numbers chapter 15, you find use there, where the service of the Levites, who they serve for God, is called, this is a struggle as they try to honor God. So I'm saying this because that's the way to understand this. It was just about the only time you'll notice a mistranslation of notes. The New American Standard Translation, one of great concepts, that's exactly the point. So again, we're coming back to summarizing. The point is, the information given by this messenger is amazing. It's so incredible that Daniel, remember before when Daniel looked at things, chapter 7, chapter 8, when he saw amazing things, he almost became faint. He had to have time off. He had to rest. And the angels coming to him to tell him amazing things, difficult things, things about future struggle, about warfare for his people, because God wanted Daniel to communicate that to his people and to us so that they would not be taken by surprise. So it says, even though the words about to finish in this book, the last vision of Daniel, is talking about conflict that's amazing. God says, you need to hear about this. You want to know what's going on. So when the world changes around you, you won't think my plan has changed. This is my plan for your people. Daniel plainly understands it. In chapter 10, verse 6, it says that this came to Daniel on the 24th day of the first month. Chapter 10, verse 6. Now, you'll see as we lead up to what we're going to be finding. This angel says, immediately followed Daniel's 3 weeks of mourning. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prays. And there were occasions like in Daniel chapter 9, he wanted to communicate with God, wanted to hear words from God, he fasted and prayed. Still the practice for today, fasting and praying. Daniel was fasting and praying. And he'd been seeking God for about 3 weeks. This would have been the first observed month of the Jewish calendar, the month Nisan. It corresponds to our March and April. Interestingly enough, Daniel was serious enough about trying to get with God and communicate to him that he would have been fasting during the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For us, if you decided you were going to go on a tofu-only diet, and you did it at Thanksgiving, this is the point. It's a time of feasting, commemoration, specially pre-designed worship time. But Daniel was so impressed that he needed to do this that he fasted one of their most important times. It would have been exceptional then, what he was doing. This is the point, it was exceptional. Where was he? By the Tyre, and that's obviously modern Baghdad. Sorry, yes, nothing. Daniel was personally at the Tigris River. He was away from the capital of Babylon during this vision. And, you know, sometimes if you're going to have a particular time away with God, some people want to retreat. There's going to be a pastor's retreat at Camp Gilead the next couple of days. Perhaps I'm not going to be there because I have other things going on, so it doesn't fit my schedule. It doesn't mean I don't pray, but I'm just not at a prayer conference. People who wait for a retreat, I think Daniel, during this special time, got away from everybody else, away from who normally would have had his essentially office complex, and went over here by the Tigris and was having his retreat time with God, seeking his face. Then, Daniel, I'm not telling you sequentially, I'm trying to tell this in a logical order, while he was praying, Daniel began to have a vision. So while he's standing by the Tigris River, after having 21 days of fasting and prayer, God gives him a vision. Who is it? It doesn't tell us. It just says a certain man. We don't know who that is. If we're saying it's somebody, we're guessing. I don't think it's Gabriel, because when he was in the book earlier, he was mentioned. I just think that it was someone, some angelic creature. And I believe it's an angel, because in the Bible, when you generally see angels, they're generally presented in form as a human male. Generally not wings and things like that, except they're exceptional seraphs and things like that. His appearance is described in different ways in these verses 5, 6, 7, 8. He's described as having a golden kind of glow to his skin. My Bible says beryl. The original language is called is the word Tarshish stone, which was chrysolite. We more equivalent to modern topaz. But the point is, it's a golden yellow kind of stone with a bright luster. So his skin had that kind of a look. So he was an individual who was special, stood out to him. And as he speaks to Daniel, take a look there. I wanted to back up now into verse 3. Like I said, there's an order to this I wanted to look at. He says, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. After having this vision, Daniel's fasting time was completed. Time passed relative to Daniel of 21 days. We're going to get to that. This helping angel seems to have been dispatched from God in heaven to bring Daniel help, to answer his question, and to communicate to him. The fascinating thing to me is we have a concrete time level involved with a spiritual being traveling from heaven, and that this 21-day period of time is exceptionally long in God's perspective. How fast did they travel? Speed of light, speed of thought. Definitely faster than my car on 405 in rush hour. But wherever God lives, to where Daniel lives, should have been a much quicker trip. But this angel took 21 days, 3 weeks. Now, there's a fascinating reason for this. And so there's one other place like this in the Bible. Take a look there in chapter 10. And we began to read some of these verses earlier as Daniel is praying, and we'll pick up again. In verse 10, as he was praying, the hand touched him. And it was the person saying, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. I've been sent to you. because while I was standing there, I was very afraid, Daniel was saying. And he says, don't fear, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So God dispatches this unnamed angel to answer Daniel's request. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. How long? This 21 days have passed for your calendar, Daniel, while I have been doing other things. Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the king of Persia. Who are we talking about? We're talking about an individual. Who is the prince of the king of Persia that this angel had to contend with? Well, we know he's connected to Daniel's Persia because this is where Daniel is. The personal power to resist a chief prince like Michael — Michael is called a chief prince, other places that would be seen as archangel in the New Testament — means whoever this person is who can stand in the face of an angelic creature for 21 days, he must have been more than human. This individual is opposing God's word, God's truths would be spread. That makes me think he must have been an emissary of Satan. His connection with Persia must have been a lasting one, because in chapter 10, verse 20, we're told that this angelic creature is going to contend again with the prince of Persia. Greece has a similar prince assigned to her in chapter 10, verse 20. And Israel would be later under Greek influence as she was under Persian influence. The prince of Persia is a demon. Satan often assigns special emissaries to influence governments against the people of God. Leon J. Wooden's commentary on this book, which is the best, is what I've been using for most of my time. When I had this in school, that's what we used. The Bible here seems to be teaching that just as God has unique angelic creatures, only a couple of them are named, but the Bible presents seraphs, cherubs, different individuals around God's throne. God presents other beings that are his servants that help us sometimes. There are what I believe are fallen angels or demons. It's what I believe that they are. Created by God to do good, there seems to have been an opportunity. It seems to be only had one opportunity to sin. When they sinned, they were cast out. But they are energized and directed and follow the most powerful created being that ever was, and that is the one we normally will call Satan. So Satan, this is God, has classes of creatures that serve him, supernatural. I believe that Satan has supernatural created creatures that serve him. This is an individual who God's servant, this unnamed angel, was standing in front of him to prevent him, to try to prevent him from carrying out God's wishes. That emissary from Satan is the reason Daniel's visitor was detained. The original angel initially had been left there on purpose to struggle himself. Sometimes this terminology, "I have been left there," has been used in other writings to describe, for example, this isn't a concrete example, but like we have David and Goliath fighting one another, one champion against another. This is the point being made by this phrase. You had some powerful angelic creature under Satan's control being sent to oppose a powerful angelic creature sent from God. And I don't know how they fought. So whatever is in your mind, the Bible doesn't tell us. But what the Bible does tell us is Daniel's visitor was victorious over Satan's representative when Michael, who seems to be God's general of the heavenly armies, the Lord of hosts, was there to help. Angels don't have wings. I just found that picture, thought it was neat, so I threw it up there. But Michael is described as one of the chief princes of God, an archangel, which means the first angel. So Michael is very likely the most powerful angelic creature that exists. Very likely he's the most highest from his name, Michael, who is of God, showing his origin. His origin comes from God. Michael seems to be particularly assigned to be the protector, or using this phraseology, the prince, the Tsar of Israel, Daniel 10:21, Daniel 12:1. So the point is that as God is involved in human history to bring in his plan, his Savior, his kingdom, and to save us, Satan looks at that and wants to interfere with that plan. And so Satan has invisible emissaries that work to try to cause that to stop. God has invisible emissaries around about us to cause things to happen that he wants to have happen. You remember in the Old Testament, we have the story, Elisha, and please help my servant see. And he opened his eyes, and God showed him, as it were, chariots of fire around angelic forces to cause human events to take place. This is a Bible teaching. Michael is said to have even himself fought Satan, Jude verse 9. But the point was, this messenger had come to tell what would be happening to Israel in the latter days. The important information that he was sent to tell, which is like chapter 9, remember chapter 9 at the end, where God told him there's going to be this special period of time where God is working with Israel to bring in the end of their sins, to bring Messiah, and then to bring in the kingdom. He's telling them, listen, there's going to be a time where things are difficult. God's work is going to attempt to be opposed, but God is not going to let your people be cut off. In Daniel chapter 11, we're going to have comments about both the Antichrist and about 164 B.C. when Antiochus Epiphanes caused to be sacrificed on the Jewish altar of pig and tried to kill every Jew that he could get his hands on. It looked tough for them, but they made it through. Daniel had seen bad things previously in chapter 7 and chapter 8, also in chapter 9. But God had given him courage and told him that, I don't want you to collapse. I don't want your faith to fail. I don't want you to think that because bad things happen doesn't mean I'm with you. It's for us and our hearts and our minds and the world around us, that's the message we get. If God loved you, he would fill in the blank. If God loved you, he would have made you taller, made you thinner, not let your hair have fallen out. You wouldn't need glasses. Your children would play in the NFL and be famous and buy you that house they always talk about. Why your kid would be the number one in class. You fill in the blank. If God loved you, he would have done these things for you. That's what the world wants to tell us, and sometimes in our minds when we're depressed, having some self-pity and discouraged, we think if God loved me, he would give me everything I want. Because we're confusing God with Santa. And we don't want to confuse God with Santa. Amen? Amen. God is the creator, the Lord of hosts. God is the one who's guiding this world. God is the one who saves us. He's left us in this world to be his servants, to demonstrate the power of Jesus in our lives, to use the Holy Spirit, to be his witnesses, and to live faithful to him. God did not leave you in this world to have an iPhone 6 or an Android. Or the new Samsung, although you might have those things anyway, that's not why God left you here. And this is the lesson we have to have ourselves. God has us here to serve him, to honor him, he's going to bless us. Jesus went out of his way to say, he's going to take us to be with him in heaven forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And that should be the number one thing we focus on. That's the blessed hope. Not that you get free Amazon Prime, but the blessed hope is that you're going to be with Jesus for all of eternity, right? And that's why this chapter is written. It's Daniel, don't be shocked. You thought it was bad when you came to Babylon. You thought it was bad when the Medes and Persians came in. Guess what, Daniel? It's going to be terrible later. So the messenger tells him, oh man, greatly beloved. He tells him, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Because Daniel's in his 70s, 80s by now. He's been in captivity for about 70 years. And remember, again, chapter 7 and chapter 8, we notice these things on our way by. And when Daniel saw things, he was troubled. He was disturbed. He saw the things he saw in Daniel 8. He had to lay in his bed for about a week. Because it was shocking, because bad things were happening to his people. God, why are we going through this if it's not going to get any better? So Daniel was someone who, when he saw the future and saw things, it bothered him. Made him concerned. Maybe you watch things about people up the road here. A couple of young kids a few weeks ago have a fatal car accident. You notice people going downtown Seattle sometimes shopping and they get shot at. You pick up the newspaper and watch the world news and see how in different countries around the world people are being unkind to each other. Revolutions are starting up. From here to Los Angeles is about 1,100 miles. It's about how far it's going to be from where I am in Timișoara to Donetsk, Ukraine. That's how far I'll be from where people are shooting at each other. So the world around us is a troubled place. It does not mean that God is not involved with you. This is our lesson. Daniel's fear needed to be replaced with strength. And the angel came and said, listen, be strong. Be strong. Get this and pick up. He says, I'm trying to build you up so that you're not overwhelmed like you've been before. And Daniel said, I felt myself strengthened. It's an intensive passive. He says, listen, you're right. I'm not as afraid anymore. I'm not as troubled anymore. I'm not as concerned anymore with what's going to happen. The angel says, listen, on the way back, I'm going to have to fight again with that same prince of Persia, since he's still there. In other words, even this angel's victory over the enemy needed to be renewed. You forced by him the first time, when you go back, he's not going to get out of your way. He's still going to have to force your way. Sometimes in our lives, we think, God, I'm coming to deal with the same problem. I'm coming to deal with the same problems, and the same person, same situation. This angel, under God's direction, had to deal with the same opponent more than once. He had defeated him the first time. He still needs to defeat him again. You and I have the same kinds of problems, testings, trials. God says, just because you did it once, doesn't mean that's the only time you're going to have to deal with it. Victory is momentary. Struggle seems to continue. He will continue fighting against this individual until Persia's influence in the world waned. As a matter of fact, he says later, there's going to be the Greek influence over your part of the world, Daniel, and an evil angelic force trying to influence the human leaders of Greece is going to come on the scene. See, God's prophecies were supposed to be taken literally. Remember, Daniel 2, the image, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, pictures of the boat, pictures of all these different things. God says he even named Greece as one of the future world powers. So God says, take what I said literally. Greek influence, is coming next. Satanic powers trying to force Greek influence to destroy God's people would be needed to be opposed, not just here in this world, but on the supernatural level. We mentioned before, and it will come up this again, 164 BC, the Seleucid leader, Greek influence, but Seleucid was the family, tried to destroy, kill every Jew around Israel that he possibly could. He wasn't completely successful, but a lot of people suffered and died. Those kind of activities take place not just with our eyes, but around us, this passage say. What do demons do? The common element in the biblical presentations of demon possession, look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, always involves the person under the influence is being destroyed. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, demon possession, demon influence, people with this kind of contact, parts of their lives are being rotted away, eaten away. The demoniac of the Gerasenes, the Gadarenes, whichever your Bible says, he would throw himself into the fire. He would hurt himself. People who are doing self-destructive activities are doing the types of things that would demonstrate they're not being influenced by God. Self-destructive behavior is a result of influence that is not from God. The angel told him, don't be afraid, for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong. As he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. For us, I love that graphic. Angels around the world, just because you don't see anything happening, doesn't mean angels are not working or God is not hearing you. This is the point. In our life, we see a lot of things happening and wonder, what is happening, God? How come I don't see more? And God says, trust me, you probably don't want to see more. But things are happening in the world around us. And I think the lessons from this passage of Scripture is, look at Daniel. God wants us to humble ourselves and pray at all times. Why did Daniel receive so much from God? Well, he was the chosen vessel for God's information, but Daniel humbled himself. He prayed. He went without. He separated himself from other influences at times. He had to go to work like everybody else. He had his government job. He had to do his thing, try to help people. Remember, we looked at Daniel earlier in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2. Those places, Daniel was a valuable government officer. He did his business. And he was able to do his business and stay close to God's heart because he humbled himself. He didn't confuse himself that he deserved all these things. God blessed him. God gave him these things. And all the things he did to try to be God's person of influence in these situations. And he prayed. He shut himself off and he listened to what God would try to tell him. God's answers to prayer sometimes go beyond our ability to understand. God, I prayed about this. What happened? It wasn't what I expected. And this is why, as Daniel is looking around, he's troubled. What is, God, what is your plan? Before, when I was a young man, when we saw that image of Nebuchadnezzar with the head of gold, well, that set me up for life. But now that image, gold, silver, bronze, iron, iron and clay, that's nothing but trouble for us now. I understand now. This isn't good. And until that stone cut without hands comes to destroy the image. It got worse and worse and worse as the materials got less and less and less valuable. Why is God doing what he does? I don't know. God does not need me to explain what he's doing. Our job is to be faithful. It's required among stewards, 1 Corinthians 4:2, that we'll be found faithful. And thank God always for what he's done. We have no idea what else he's doing on our behalf right now. As we mentioned before, Daniel heard this information, and what's going on? What's happening? He heard things he didn't know anything about. Who knows what God is doing around us? Who knows what plans are being made? Who knows how God is influencing your future? Who knows how our faithfulness, our humility, our service is making a difference? Not just for today, but for tomorrow. And who knows what God is doing around us? Recognize that there's a lot of things in this world that we don't understand. People make money off of us because we want to know and understand what we cannot know and will not understand. People advise us, counsel us, sell us things, try to get us to trust them, so that we can think in our minds we're prepared for what's going to happen. There are some things in life you can't prepare for. Some things you can. Tonight when we look at the book of Nehemiah, we'll see how Nehemiah had prepared for an opportunity that he was waiting for, that he was sure God would give him. It took him months. Sometimes we can prepare, sometimes we just have to be faithful during the midst of the storm. Daniel's about to hear some messages for his people that will tell them things that will take their breath away. That Daniel, when he reports this, trust me, this is true. This is amazing. This is incredible. It's about terrible struggles. It's about terrible things that are going to happen in the future, some soon, some later. But these things are going to happen. But God is telling us so we will be ready. They won't catch us by surprise. Didn't Jesus do the same thing? In this world, we'll have tribulation. I'm telling you, this is going to happen now, so it's not a shock. It's just the way I've overcome the world. Please me, satisfy me, be committed to me, and we'll make it through. That's the point of this passage. Bad things are going to happen. Worse things might happen. But the point is, take a breath. Hope you find strength to deal with it, and God can get you through. You can't take a pill, invest in a plan, or put on a shirt that's going to protect you from all the problems around you. The only thing that can protect you is God, even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Only God's presence can make the difference.
God, help us to honor you with all of our lives. just even